Well, hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. We're taking a different look at the 2012 presidential campaign by looking at the campaigns themselves, as both President Obama and Mitt Romney ramp up for their post-convention electioneering this fall. Their campaigns are now in attack mode, with Obama supporters criticizing Romney's tenure as a venture capitalist and Romney supporters pointing out what they say are Obama's presidential failures. This election season is the first to run with the addition of so-called super PACs, which can raise unlimited amounts of money. Today, we want you to step into the role of chief of staff for either campaign. What would you advise your candidate, whether Obama or Romney, focus on in these pre-convention months? To be part of today's conversation, and the phones are already beginning to ring, give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Love to hear from you. That's what the Vox Pop is all about, and it's great when you're there with us. Okay, let's go to Kit, and let's see, Monterey, I guess it is. Kit, you're on the phone.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Alan. I have a great idea for the Obama campaign. I think what he needs to do, or for his super PAC,
yep,
which is he needs to run an ad with maybe three instances of Mitt Romney completely contradicting himself.
One of those things that you show the two faces going back and forth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so what he needs to do is to impugn Romney as a liar and not really a flip-flopper. It needs to be stronger than that. And he needs to never let up for the whole campaign. He needs to spend the whole campaign making Romney run from that charge.
And I think that's what they're thinking. You know, Romney is doing something interesting. When the super PAC guy wanted to put $1 million into ads on, or more than $1 million, I think, into ads on Reverend Wright and start that stuff up again, Romney said, quote, "I don't want any part of it."
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting. I didn't exactly know what to make of that because, as you know, they're not supposed to have any part of it. In other words, the super PACs are not supposed to be saying anything to the presidential candidate. That's against the law.
I was
fascinated by that. But I think Romney wants to be seen as a nice guy. And I think the name of this game in this election, Kit, is going to be who do the American people think they are more like? You know, Romney or Obama? And that is where I think this election is going. And I think that's what Romney is going to do.
Yeah. Well, he's just flip-flopped or essentially lied on so many things.
Yeah.
If he can get tagged with that, I think the Obama campaign can get a lot of mileage out of it.
Well, Kit, I thank you very much for starting us off here. It's very
All right.
important to hear from you, and I love when
Thanks.
We do. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
Right.
Bye.
Right. Let's go to Jeffrey in Beckett, right near Monterey. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
Yes, sir. We're neighbors. Good afternoon.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I think it's going to come down to energizing the base. Now, I'm going to play the role of the chief of staff for the Obama campaign.
Right.
And I know this is going to sound absurd, and it almost assuredly won't happen, but I think because the excitement isn't there for Obama this time around, and the right has been ignited since his election, it may take nothing less than replacing Biden with Hillary. Biden has a great track record in foreign relations. We've got to just ignite the base once again. And, you know, also I was thinking that this topic, as interesting as it is, might be a bit premature in the sense that next month, perhaps in a few weeks, when the Supreme Court hands down its decision on health care, it's going to change the entire dynamics of the race. And personally, I have no clue what that's going to look like.
Well, yeah, that's a very good point. But so far, I like a lot of what you have to say. Now, look, Hillary said she wants no part of it. She's not even going to campaign for the president, she says. We don't know what that's all about. It could be anything. And I don't want to speculate on that. But we just don't know. And then she says she doesn't want to run for president. But Bill keeps saying that she might. I think you're right. I think she would add tremendously to the ticket. Now, if they're down 7 points or 8 points right now, they may well turn around and say, hey, you know, this is a good time to do this. And that's why I suspect that you may be right and they may feel they have to, whether they like it or not.
Oh, I hope that's true. So, thank you, Alan.
You're always smart, Jeffrey. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, let's talk to the omnipresent Joel from Clinton. Okay, Joel, you're on.
How's it going? I just, you know, Elizabeth Warren got Scott Brown to agree, you know, at least on the face of it a few months ago to limit the influence of super PACs. And I think it is what the other caller said. It's about energizing the base. That's what the president and the Democrats need to focus on. I actually have challenged Chris Gibson myself to agree to the same agreement that Elizabeth Warren got Scott Brown to agree to on the super PACs. But, Alan, you probably know this. I remember Citizen Action telling us in the 90s, 80% of all campaign contributions to Congress coming from less than a quarter of 1% of the American public. That was in the 90s. I mean, it's things have really gotten bad, and that's the understatement.
Yeah, you know, Joel, by the way, I want to give the phone number, 1-800-348-2551. You know, you make an interesting point about the not only the super PACs, but, you know, whether or not people are going to feel energized enough to vote in this election. Now, look, Obama can't win this election unless there's turnout. And we heard that from Jeffrey. That was right. That's why he's going from campus to campus talking about, because people do what's in their own best interest. And the kids, of course, who are saddled with sometimes $100,000, $150,000 in college debt and, you know, a percent change in the amount that they have to pay on interest could be devastating for them. We saw in the Vietnam War, right, Joel, that the one reason that people turned out, don't you think, it was not only morality, it was, I don't want to go. So, you know, to be fair about it. And so, therefore, if Obama is able to tell people of color, for example, who traditionally don't vote in large numbers, get out and vote and do it without alienating, you know, white voters by doing it, he has a shot. The same thing with young people who don't vote. He has a shot. And if he can instill some sense of hope, which he had in the first election, into this thing, yes, we can, then I think he has a shot.
I think you're right. He has to go more populist. And, you know, I've been listening to you, and I think you're right. He's trying to re-stoke that anger with the students and, you know, coming out for marriage equality after the quote-unquote accident from Biden. But I tell you what, people are invited to join me today, 4 o'clock in Kingston, Albany Avenue. We're right in front of Chris Gibson's office, and we're asking Chris Gibson to sign on to the Elizabeth Warren Scott Brown pledge, you know, to limit the influence of super PACs. If it's good enough for Massachusetts, it's good enough for New York's 19th congressional.
Always great to talk to you, Joel. Thank you. Okay. And David in Hurleyville, 1-800-348-2551. David, you're on.
I just wanted to agree. The caller seemed to have it right on the nose that what Obama needs to do is energize it. And to do that, he has to show them that he's that same guy that they voted for before, because a lot of them feel like he's abandoned them. And yeah, he has to follow through with what he promised.
Yeah, David, I think you're right. But the question is, does he have the same material to work with? I mean, after all, let's remember that Bush the second was terrible. We were at war, the budget, the financial system was collapsing. And he said, yes, we can. Well, everybody projected into, yes, we can, whatever the hell they wanted to project into that. You know, he had that going for him. But in any case, I think you're right. If we don't do that, I shouldn't say we're, because I certainly don't endorse people here on this radio station. But then I would think there's the other issue, and that's the Supreme Court of the United States. That's going to be huge. And that is really, really important, because right now we have 5-4. So you get Citizens United, and you're going to get, I'm sure, a bad outcome on health care, and you're going to get all this other stuff. And yet there are some people who just can't add up 1 and 1 makes 2. So that's a tough one. And I think that if I were the campaign manager in this case, I would certainly be pointing out an awful lot of that. And I would be pointing out you need a Congress to go with it. Otherwise, you have a problem. Okay, thank you so much. And let's go to Shan in East Greenbush. Okay, Shan.
Is it Shan? Hi, Alan. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult thing we have with the media. One of the most incredible things I saw when Obama first got in office was he did this philosophical or the debating tool in which he made Rush Limbaugh the spokesperson of the Republican Party. And he had turned on ear the exact tactics that they use. And I thought it was the most incredible thing, and that's many years gone and past now. But I do realize that Mr. Obama, our president, was left, and I don't know, my joke was about the service industry. You know, send the non-Caucasian in to clean up the mess. Because we...
I'm not sure I get that. I'm sorry.
Mr. Obama and the whole nation inherited an eight-year obfuscation of any type of moral equity, spending our money, starting illegal wars, just not asking people to pay. You know, what is the infrastructure of this country? You know, if you have a lot of money, you're able to go and have international businesses. And you have a whole military that fights and allows you to do that. It's subsidized. The average person doesn't get on a plane, doesn't have a passport, has no interest in leaving this country or ability to do so. That's what our military is. It's a security system for the wealthy.
Okay, so staying... Whoa. Staying on message. Remember the question. What would you tell Obama to do in this election?
Not ignore the difficulties you have surmounted and that you inherited and make that the message.
In other words, make the case that you've done good stuff.
Make the case that you had you walked into an office that was in a deep hole. We all were in a deep hole when he came into office. How did we get in that hole and stay on point? How did we get in that hole? And it has nothing to do with regulation when we're sitting on couches that, you know, toxify us because of the flame retardants that were put in there because of the cigarette industry.
Okay, listen, I'm so sorry. We're out of time for this thing. And what we're doing now is going to a break. And if your name is Elizabeth or Kate, you stay right there. Thanks a lot.
Support for WAMC comes from Schenectady Museum and Planetarium, presenting Digitizing the Museum's Archives Lecture June 3rd and Transit of Venus Viewing Event June 5th, schenectadymuseum.org. Adventure Outfitters, Hadley, Massachusetts, offering outdoor clothing, camping equipment, cross-country skis, snowshoes, climbing equipment, canoes, and kayaks, open evenings until 9, adventureoutfitter.com. Buckley Beef, Valley Falls, New York, providing all natural grass-fed beef, steaks, hamburger, and sausage, available at McCarroll's Village Butcher, Delmar, buckleybeef.com. Proctor's, presenting the Summer of the Performing Arts, featuring summer adventures and the Summer Academy, proctors.org for more information. And SUNY IT, offering a nursing option for high school graduates to earn 2 nursing degrees in 4 years, sunyit.edu for more information.
Okay, class, remember what your assignment is. You're the campaign manager for either President Obama or for Governor Romney, and you will be charged with setting up the themes of the campaign. That's what we're asking you to do today. Stay on message, otherwise you fail. Let's go to Elizabeth from Montgomery.
Hi, how are you, Alan?
Well, you know, I'm okay.
Well, the first thing Obama has to do is admit he made mistakes, because by ignoring what he said, remember he said if the economy wasn't good in 3 years, you don't have to reelect me and all that stuff. But if he ignores all those things he said, he's just another Chicago politician, which I'm afraid he was to begin with. So what we have to do, being is the manager, is he has to overcome that, and he has to win the people's confidence again, because he can't fool them twice. He ran on hope and change, and we got nothing. So the point is he's going to have to own up to his own mistakes and tell us why we need to reelect him.
Now, Elizabeth, let me interrupt for a moment. The last caller made the point that he'd done a great deal and that he wasn't getting credit for it.
I don't think he's done a great deal. I mean, I don't see people at work. I see teachers losing their jobs. I see states in bad economy. I don't see the economy turning around, and I'm afraid that this election will be, it's the economy, stupid. Remember the Clinton remark? And that's what it's going to be. And if he can't do something about that, if he can't really outline a way that he is really going to work with people instead of talking down to people in his little conferences that he has, he's not going to win. And the problem is that he's going to have to come up with a great plan that he is actually going to start to do before the election so people can see what he's doing.
Okay, Elizabeth.
We can't make any more promises. We won't buy it.
Okay, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. Kate in Catskill. Okay, Kate, you're on.
Hi, Alan. If I were Obama's campaign manager, I would take the focus off of what people say he hasn't done, and again, put the focus on what Mitt Romney is, what he has to, go on. And again, that's his supposedly all of his business acumen and successes.
So you believe that the strategy, which is unfolding now, to attack Romney on what Bain Capital did is a fair thing to do?
Not just the Bain thing. I feel like, more importantly, what people need to look at is that, George Bush got reelected in office after pretty much stealing the election, from Gore. And if people are willing to give that man 8 years, and they're not going to give Obama 8 years, forgiveness.
Well, but now you got to talk to as if you're the campaign manager.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first and foremost, Plouffe pulled something out of the hat that, I mean, a lot of people wanted that supported Obama didn't think he was going to. They didn't think he was going to get elected, and I think just Plouffe did a great job. I think as a campaign manager, if I was a campaign manager, I'd make sure to have like a just a solid team and an effective multi-year effort.
Well, I'm sure they are.
Feet on the ground, knocking on doors, making people understand what his record is, and for goodness sake, stop calling him Mr. Obama. Did we call him Mr. Clinton? Nobody called Clinton Mr. Clinton when he was in office. They don't even call him Mr. Clinton now. So quit with the Mr. Obama.
Thank you,
He's
Kate.
President.
Thank you, Kate.
All right.
Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Okay, let's go to Chuck in Lake Luzerne. Okay, Chuck, you're on.
Oh, hey, Alan. Thanks for the time.
You're welcome.
And I would rebut the gal before before Kate, I guess it was.
Right.
Just your previous caller.
Yeah.
Saying, we have to... give him a Congress, and I know it's not going to happen this time, but do we give up then, or do we keep working away at getting him getting us?
Well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Do you tell him? How do you do it? I mean,
it's all local.
Well, no, but you see, Chuck, I agree with you. I think, though, you don't give up on it now. I think you say one of his themes should be, look, don't elect me unless you give me a Democratic Congress. Because I think people are frustrated with the way in which Washington is operating now. And you can't allow them the idea that it's going to continue that. And I think he has to have a reason for that. And I think he has to say that. And I think, he will be a wuss if he doesn't do that because, people won't have hope.
Yeah, that's a good point. But then I know you favor a face-off at the Weehawken Bridge.
with who? It's not, it's not. With who do you want to face off? You mean at the, the president and the governor? Is that who you want?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying it's kind of a radical move on his part.
Yes, it is.
But
right now he's 6 or 7 points down. Very scary for a lot of people.
Wow.
Hey,
yeah.
Thanks an awful lot. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye.
I still think that the Hillary idea is a good one. Let's go to Chris in Saratoga. Chris, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually going to be an exception maybe so far in saying that as Romney campaign manager,
sure,
I would make the suggestion that somehow he has to find a way to appropriate Ron Paul supporters. And I don't know. It's probably an impossible task. I think... there's a story that's not really being told, and that is really that there are a lot of delegates that are really Ron Paul supporters that are going to be in Miami, and there's going to be a row, is my expectation of some sort. And if he alienates that element, the libertarian element, which is really not discussed a lot, but it is, I think, the core of the Tea Party movement, Ron Paul's the only person bringing in young people. He's very popular with independents. You know, does Romney, you know, say something like?
Okay, but wait. Chris, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that the Ron Paul people are going to vote for Obama?
Alan, I think they would stay home, and that's the problem. Uh-huh. I think if he doesn't find a way to reconcile, however awkward that reconciliation
with
is, with that element,
yeah.
the people that are actually coming into the party are from that end.
Okay, Chris. Now, next question, Chris. How do you do it?
I think it's tricky. I think there's a lot of things, but I think, you know, maybe one suggestion is Ron Paul is made Secretary of the Treasury, and that's part of the deal.
I don't think they're going to do that. You know,
I don't think so either, Alan. But I'm saying if I was advising Romney, I think it's Obama's election to lose, whatever the polls are saying right now.
Really?
And I think it's because of this. I think the GOP, whatever lead they may claim to have, is tenuous at best. I think Romney is a shaky candidate even amongst the party faithful. I don't think people are going to go out and do anything special because they don't believe that Romney is anything really different than maybe a George W. Bush in terms of his economic policies.
But let me just remind you that George W. Bush won twice.
True. But I think, you know... fool me twice, and I don't know.
I believe it's fool me once.
Yeah, I know. we got fooled twice, and I don't know. I just if I was Romney, I'd say this is an element that you have to bring into the fold in some fashion. And if he was able to do that, then I think it's you know, maybe not smooth sailing completely, but I think. Then you actually, if you embrace a constitutionalist perspective, I think Obama's very vulnerable, particularly with his passage of signing in the NDA Act into.
Respectfully, and I really mean respectfully, disagree with you, because I think the Romney problem and the Obama problem is the middle class base. You know, the middle. That's how you win or lose elections. You know, Ron Paul doesn't talk for a lot of Americans. It's a very specific small group, as we saw in terms of the outcome of the primaries, because, you know, if they're not going to elect him in a Republican primary. I think it's the middle class. I think it's the middle class, the independent voters who are going to count here. And that's what they're both going to head for.
But I think on his economic policies, on his civil liberty policies, those things resonate with all of us. And I think that element Romney would be smart to embrace or find a way to appropriate, and that he can make an appeal to the middle Americans, middle of the road folks who are watching, you know, inflation destroy whatever monies they have in their 401ks and so forth.
Well, not right now. We don't have inflation right now.
Well, it depends how you look at it. I mean, they've managed to not count, you know, so many certain, you know, I'm not an economist, Alan, but I would just say it just seems to me that, you know, with the price of gas, with the price, you know, our economy is, you know, gas has doubled since Obama took office. I mean, he's vulnerable on that front. But Romney doesn't necessarily mean by himself somebody who's credible on the economic issues.
Yeah.
And I think he is vulnerable with regard to, you know, the way they've been attacking him.
Okay.
Chris,
because we've got four people behind you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you've had your say, and I'm very glad you
Thank
did.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
a
you,
lot.
Alan.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So.
Yeah.
Bye.
Let's go to Maureen in Williamsburg. Maureen, you're on.
Hi. I'm feeling very humble after listening to all these complicated arguments. Thinking like a teacher, which I am.
Great.
And
what grade do you teach?
Community college.
Great. Okay.
Okay. So, like, I'm thinking, like, you need to educate people about the three branches of government and and the role that Congress and Senate play.
Now, remember what the Maureen, you're the teacher. Remember what the assignment is. The assignment is to tell me and us what you are advising either campaign or both campaigns should be their line of attack.
I'm telling Obama to get a Congress behind him.
Yep.
Because nothing that he's doing, he's just fighting against like the wind and.
Okay, how do you do
waves.
That? You do.
Okay, so I made a little list.
Oh, good.
Explain the process. I mean, like, you know, they can do it very like medium.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Now that's coming around.
Show the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Show the difference, like where the lockup is.
Right.
You know, in the Congress, in the Senate. And, I mean, I know they can do this, you know, very excitedly.
No, you know, I like it. I like it. I saw Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Jimmy Stewart, the other night. You know, and as always, I cried at the end. It was great.
No, you got to keep it simple for the people. And
sure.
Then create an infrastructure to make it easy so they can see the map. You know, I mean, this is where
okay. Now that's the third time. Once you say it the third time, it's over. Maureen, thank you so much.
Those are the 3 points. Bye.
And I thank you so much for making them. Bye. Okay. And we'll go to Howard in Del Mar. That sets up one free line now. Go ahead, Howard in Del Mar. You're on.
Good afternoon. It is my opinion that Obama should be advised that he must not go to the level of campaigning that Romney and the Republicans are doing.
Okay, what do you mean? What do you want him to do?
He should be above the fray. He should take the higher road.
The Rose Garden strategy.
What?
The Rose Garden strategy. You act presidential and you don't dirty
exactly.
your hands.
Exactly. Don't go to their level and don't engage in mudslinging and let the whole and let your campaign be above that and I will advise him to concentrate on the amount of times he had to compromise to those Republicans and to compromise the various programs that he actually initiated.
Okay, Howard, thanks for that. Okay, let's go to Abigail in Kingston. That frees up one free phone. Abigail in
Hi,
Kingston.
Alan,
you're on. Yes.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Do you remember there was the expression, go west, young man?
Yeah.
Well, I think...
Greeley.
I think Barack Obama, whom I love, should go left. I happen to
go left, young
man.
Okay.
France has elected a socialist. I think I did a whole thing with the post office, trying to keep the post office going. Had 100 people send postcards to Obama, telling him what they wanted him to do. And I think, you know, he needs the support. He needs the courage to really become. To keep the government without, well, corruption, forget it, because it's endemic in everything we do. But I think, you know, he needs to go left. He really absolutely needs to
but
go
didn't
left.
But didn't you hear me say just a few seconds ago, Abigail?
That I can't repeat myself, right?
You can't come around a second time. But didn't you hear me say before that it's the middle that is going to win or lose this election? Look,
yeah, but I think the middle is willing to go left.
Yeah, I know.
I think the middle is sick and tired of all of the right wing. I know we need two wings to fly. I know we need a right wing and a left wing if we're going to get off the ground. But I think we have gone a little bit more to the right, and we need to go to the left.
Okay,
and
now you make a very, very good point.
You made it
twice.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to Bill in Albany. Bill, you're on one free phone. Go ahead, Bill.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Here's my advice to President Obama.
Yeah.
And it's pretty simple and basic. Appeal to the Democratic base, including Reagan Democrats and independents. Appeal to working class and middle class voters. Propose legislation that will create jobs, maintain jobs, tax breaks for working middle class voters, increase tuition tax credits for families who have children in college and vocational ed programs. Remind voters that he offered to compromise with GOP and they refused. Remind voters that GOP has a GOP agenda only. Remind voters that a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president can get things done to move this country forward. And to remind voters that the next president will probably nominate one or two Supreme Court justices.
Yep, that's a very good point. You know, of all the things you've said thus far, I would say the last one is incredibly important.
I agree, because right as you said a number of times, right now it's 5-4 conservatives.
But you know,
this may be one justice in the middle, so to speak.
But let me tell you, not really. No, that's where you get 5-4. You know, they always say Kennedy's in the middle. He's not. But he's sort of a libertarian. He's going to go right almost every time, and he has. You watch what happens in healthcare. Well, I may be wrong. But I think you make a very strong point about that, because let me tell you how this is going to work. The next two Supreme Court justices who leave are probably going to be the part of the four, not the five. So
exactly.
That would make it 6-3 or 7-3, 7-2. That could be a devastation. And that's why when some of my friends who are entitled to their opinions and say, it doesn't matter, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, I'm not going to vote. There's a certain word for that. It's stupid. So thank you. Thank you very much, Bill. All good points.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah, right. 1-800-348-2551. Your chance to get in now are great, because we're going to take a short break and then we'll be back for the last part of the program. And there are two free phones right now. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Identity Eyewear, it's what sets you apart. EYEdentityeyewear.net. Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts. AshokanCenter.org. Maria College, Albany, offering RN BS degree in nursing, non-associate's degrees, and 5 certificate programs, day, evening, weekend, and online classes. MariaCollege.edu. Bill's Maps, publishers of the new Hudson River Boater's Guide and Map, walking tours of 13 historic waterfronts along the Hudson, Troy to Peekskill, New York, billsmaps.com. And Berkshire Botanical Gardens, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, spring blooming bulbs and trees, shade shelter exhibition, and a season of garden classes and workshops. Open daily 9 to 5, berkshirebotanical.org.
And we are back. It's terrific. All 5 phones are ringing off the hook. As they have been for most of this program, and we love you for doing it, and we appreciate it, and we think you're great when you engage in this kind of conversation. Every once in a while, somebody calls me up short and says, you're terrible because you don't let people go on. Well, you know the rule. I'm telling you the rule. I'm fair about it. The rule is, when it goes around for the third time, that's it. Keep it succinct and short and to the point. We've got a Melanie who's going to do that in Livingston. Melanie, you're on.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
One point I want to make. It occurs to me that the Democrats have permitted Mitt Romney to set the parameters of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to talk about his years as governor. I think that the president ought to talk about his years as a governor, because I think doing things which will increase jobs as a head of state are different from doing things in a job to create more jobs.
Well, could you, Melanie, go to that point for a moment? I'm a Massachusetts resident.
Yes.
I was there when he was governor.
Well, if he had a bad job creation record as the governor, as a head of state, then he's already failed on that score.
Well, did he?
I don't know.
No, I don't think he did.
I heard that Massachusetts at that time was the 47th out of 50.
Well,
sure
maybe you're right. I had the feeling of a sort of a nebbishy guy who got along, didn't alienate people. He got his comeuppance when he ran against Teddy Kennedy and lost in that election. Sort of overreached there. Maybe Obama should use that. You know what I'm saying? The Teddy election, taking on this icon.
Well, do you read into it that the Democrats haven't looked into it? Do you read into it that they've looked and they don't find anything they can use?
Well, they could. One of the most, the Kennedys are most beloved family, whether they deserve it or not, you know, in America. Their pictures are up all over the place and the rest of it.
Sure, sure.
So if, in fact, you say that, you know, that Romney had the chutzpah to run against, this icon, forget about anything else other than the fact that he did it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you may be right. Look, you know, I think these elections are won or lost by people's sense of confidence in people's character and their personality. I think that's what it's all. I think that's what it's all about.
Well, I like the way the president explained what Bain Capital did.
Yeah.
And that's not the same. That's not the same thing as creating jobs. And
yeah.
I like that. I thought that was well done. I thought maybe we ought to look into other parts of the Governor Romney's record.
Well, Melanie, I appreciate that. I wish I was better educated myself on all of this.
Me too. Me too. Thank you for having the program.
Thanks again. Bye bye.
Bye now.
Let's go to Jeff in Buffalo.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll preface this with saying that I am a registered Republican, but I think I play the role of Obama's campaign manager here.
Okay.
Tell him that he needs to stay away from the Second Amendment. He needs to make some serious inroads to show the Second Amendment supporters that he's going to leave the UN small arms treaty as it is. Don't sign on to that.
Yep.
And he needs to energize his base. He needs to tell them that all these Tea Party congressmen who got elected in on the Tea Party members.
Yeah.
The Tea Party is not the 1%. Those guys are dropping the ball. I think he needs to continue to push for increases on the taxes, the changing the tax base for the super wealthy.
No, I think that's a good point. I'm glad you called and said that.
Yeah, and again, even as a registered Republican, I'm leaning Obama. I like a lot of the stuff he's done. If he can stay away from the Second Amendment, he's got my support.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thanks for your time here.
Yeah. Let's go to Tommy in Neversink. Welcome back, Tommy. What's up?
Why are all these gun owners scared of Obama when he's not really going after them?
Because there's a certain law of anticipated reaction, if you know what
well,
I mean.
Well, anyway, you said it before, Alan, and all he has to do is get people to vote. If more people vote, the Democrats have a huge advantage.
They do.
And, you know, that's why the Republicans are trying to stop them from voting in many states.
Right.
And I would disagree with Howard. I don't think he needs to be above the fray. He's tried that.
Mm.
He needs to be more cantankerous and you know, call people out on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to have a spreadsheet showing how much better off you're going to be under him than under Romney, unless you're a millionaire.
Hey, you know why I love it when you call? Because you're so smart. Thank you, Tommy. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah. Let's go to Joey in Poughkeepsie. Joey, you're on.
Yes, how you doing, Alan?
Good.
Honestly, I would give the same advice to both campaigns, is be ready for televised debates. I think it's going to come down to that in the end, but just like how Perry, everyone thought when Perry was going to take down Romney, just like all this anticipation, I think Romney needs to sharpen himself against Obama. And plus, I think Obama's going to be rusty now going head-to-head for a long time. I really think Romney will have an advantage if he prepares for it.
Well, have you ever seen a Romney debate in which he really does well? I haven't.
That's the thing. He does average. You know, he has some good points.
Yeah, that's a good word.
You know, he always comes, he doesn't lose. You know, he doesn't get beaten.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But honestly,
yeah.
If he comes out strong, anticipating a very good debater as Obama, I think he has a chance, because really it's out of perception at this time, because both of them, they both have ideas. Like, Romney's just ideas right now until he gets to be president. Obama has to show that his ideas have been better.
Yeah, so. But the ability to debate well, to stand up there and to basically make the other guy look not so good, I think has to lie with Obama, doesn't it?
Well, I think so. That's why I would advise Romney to prepare for this, because I think that's where he would have an advantage if he can come out and have, like, go head-to-head with Obama. Because nowadays, most people, until the debate time, don't really pay attention day-to-day, like, you know, from politics.
Sure.
So when they see these sound bites, if Romney can have some really good punches in there, he will have a stronger advantage. I think it'll be a lot harder to beat if he just, like, concentrates on that.
Well, he better find some really good writers like the ones for Saturday Night Live, you know.
Exactly.
And so when you get the, you know, the famous Ronald Reagan, you know, there you go again, you know, that kind of thing. That's pretty good stuff, except that sometimes when these guys do that, when they're not really good debaters or facile with words, you get the feeling, well, somebody wrote them that line.
Right, and that's why I think you should prepare now.
Okay, Joey, good points. Thanks a lot. Let's go to, let's see here, Ken All right, Ken in, I don't know where. Ken, go ahead.
Durham, New York.
Oh, Durham, okay.
Greetings. If you remember when Romney used the term quiet rooms, do you remember that?
I don't.
Okay. It's a shame. In fact, you should, because the press just dropped that one.
So what do you want me to do, lie? You mean you said,
no,
you remember?
No, yeah. No, actually, I'm kind of stunned that you don't know the phrase. But it's not your fault. It's actually the press. What he said about 2 months ago was that matters of high finance should really only be discussed in quiet rooms.
Ah.
Now, you Google that when you get a chance.
No, I will. I have chance all the time between, 3 o'clock in the morning and whatever. But you're right. That's a very important thing. And what do you think he meant by that?
Well, it was a reflexive answer. He was ad-libbing. What he was trying to say was that money is sacred, and we don't discuss it in front of the hoi polloi. He feels that way.
No, I do. I understand that. So what do you want? So what do you want Obama to do?
I want Obama to club him to death with phrases like that. He's not going to be able to do it in the debates. Even if he creams him in the debates, he may gain 0.5%. You know that. The trick is to expose some of the things that the GOP has foisted upon the public for the last 10 years. And he has to really just be blunt. Blunt language and no more quiet rooms.
No more quiet rooms. And Ken, thank you very much. I'll try to do better the next time. Appreciate it.
No, you're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Thanks. Let's go to Jim in Cobleskill. Jim, you're on.
Hi. If I was advising Obama, I would say he needs to double down on hope and change.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to say he's going to lead the new Democratic Party back into Washington
mm-hmm.
for peace, bread, and justice. It's American as peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to start that by going into Wisconsin and beating Walker. As the first step in the role to
by the way, what's going on there? Do you have any update on how that's all coming out?
It's pretty lukewarm right now. I mean, it's an even battle.
And when is that?
The Democratic Party and Obama wanted to come in and try and take it as a symbolic victory. They could do it.
When is
that
election?
A great way to start out. It's in June.
Well, I get 10,000 emails a week on that. All, by the way, from the right.
It's a state election, but it has national symbolism.
Oh, yeah.
And if Obama could be seen as leading a new orientation of the Democratic Party for peace and justice, that would be a great first step.
So the New York Times says that Obama spends an incredible amount of time doing metrics, studying metrics, who's voting.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's not going in, maybe they're afraid that he'll look bad if they lose there. But I like a guy who goes in and says, okay, so they lose. I've done the right thing.
That's where I think he's got to double down on hope and change, be willing to accept it. Occupy is going to come back through the summer and the fall.
Yeah.
He can't be afraid of it.
Okay, Jim, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Yep. Let's go to Laura in Colony. Okay, Laura, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I have a few points, one of which...
You got to make them quick because we're coming to the end of the show here. Go ahead.
Okay. As a progressive, I have to say that President Obama has been very disappointing on a lot of items. It's really incredible that the Dems allow the right wing for decades now to control the dialogue, to set the tone of the debate, to use words like socialist. It's outrageous. If he was more like a socialist, we wouldn't be so disappointed in him. And for the longest time, the right wing has been hoodwinking middle class and working class.
Okay, so what do you want him to do?
Well, he needs to let people know in a not so condescending or patronizing way that they have been tricked into voting against their self-interest without sounding too wonky. He needs to let people know how voting Republican is not in any working person's self-interest. They lie, they use twisted, craven logic, and it's all for their own self-interest. Not that I think the Dems are so great, but I would choose them any day over the right wing.
Laura, we're going to let it go right there because I want to get everybody in. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your remarks are fine. Let's go to Chris in Pittsfield. Chris, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to say that there's an old message about you can't cut your way to prosperity, and I think that's really where he's got to go. Obama's he's missing this idea that his message should be overwhelmingly positive.
This is a worldwide issue that you're mentioning right now.
Yeah.
It really is. And
prosperity is not prosperity.
No, I agree with you.
And we have to grow our way to prosperity. And these guys on the other side, the Paul Ryans and the Romneys and all these guys, they still believe you can cut your way to success, and you can.
Well, Chris, thank you. I think you're right. Thanks again.
Okay. Right.
Let's go to Andrew in Western Massachusetts. Andrew, you're on.
Hey, how's it going? So I think there's some points that are salient that are coming up. One is that for Obama, you know, the left is losing the argument. So I think one of the things that would have to take place is I think you need to identify what our country would look like with a Republican Congress, Republican executive branch.
Yeah, the Supreme Court, for example, and some of the other. Certainly it's the end of NPR as we know it. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, all the things that people care about and value honestly wouldn't really be the same. And I think another thing is to reclaim and redefine what it means to be pro-business. Uh-huh. I have the feeling that, like, Americans love business. Like, we're all about business, but we're not necessarily about conservative business. And I think there's, like, there's different ways.
So all about middle-class business. In other words, small business. Yeah,
and those are two separate issues.
Okay, Andrew, Andrew, I'm so sorry to give you the rush, but I want to get everybody in. I hope you understand, okay?
No, that's okay.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. Bye. Let's go to Bruce in Ulster. Bruce in Ulster. By the way, we still got a few phones, fellow, here. You could call and get in, but Bruce, go ahead.
Okay. You know, Obama explains things fairly reasonably intellectually.
Yep.
But what he's got to do, he's got to tell people, you're being ripped off. You're being ripped off economically. You're being ripped off medically. You're being ripped off politically. If you don't want to be ripped off, you've got to elect me. You've got to elect a Congress that will go along with me, because the Tea Party is politically is politically autistic. And to paraphrase, not paraphrase, to paraphrase Lincoln, you know, we have a country of the wealthy, by the wealthy, and for the wealthy.
Mm.
And if you want to return to government, you know, of the people, by the people, and for the people, you know, and really have a democracy and not a plutocracy, because we are now
okay, because you're coming around. That's the third time. So let me ask you this, Tim. I don't mean to be rude. I want to get
Bruce.
This is Bruce. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So what you're really saying here is he's got to have the courage to get out there and say those things.
Absolutely.
Okay, Bruce. Thanks a lot. Okay, now let's go to Tim in Ankrum. Tim, go.
Hey, how's it going, Alan?
So far, so good. Go.
Okay. He's just got to learn how to get his message out there better. I think he's the worst bragger in political history. I've never seen.
He has to learn how to brag.
Yeah, him and the people who run him, and he doesn't necessarily have to brag. It can be his people. But they stink at it. I can't believe he bailed out the auto industry. First of all, the Republicans said not to do that. Then he went in and he oversaw them, and they said, oh, no, the government, people shouldn't own the auto industry. That's wrong, so we shouldn't oversee them. We should at least just give them the money and do what they want with it. He cleaned up their act, and look what they're doing. God, it's a miracle what happened there.
Okay.
And he's taking no credit, or not enough.
Okay, he's got to be a better bragger. I got it. Thanks a lot.
Yep,
okay, let's go to Tim now. We had one Tim, now let's go to Tim in Woodstock. Go, Tim.
Alan, great show. Thank you.
Thanks.
Two memes. You know what memes are, right?
Sort of, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, well, basically they're things that stick in the mind very quickly.
Right.
They've got to battle back two things. Who are the job creators? You are. The 99% of the job creators. The people who work are the job creators. Also, the other thing is you've got a situation, well, three words, back from the brink. That's four words.
I like it.
Back from the he brought the country back from
I
the
like
brink.
I like it. That's good.
And you spell out exactly what the brink was and how it happened.
Okay, Tim, I'm going to take it at that. Call earlier next time. I want to get everybody in, but I like your idea a lot. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Jay in Albany. Jay, you're on.
Hello, Professor. Thank you.
Sure.
Try to make this really short. He needs to stress accomplishments made in spite of a Republican Party that pledged a one-term administration, even if it's to the detriment of the nation.
Yep.
And that should be a bulwark of the campaign. I like what the last guy said. That's a great slogan.
Yep. Thank you, Jay.
And you're welcome. Bye.
Okay, and we are really out of time now. And again, I'm so sorry. I want to apologize to I want to apologize to Mary and to Robert and to Joe. We're not going to be able to get you in this time, but we hope you'll come in the next time because this is just great. It's what the Vox Pop is supposed to be about, and you guys have done it so well today, and I do love you all for participating. Anyway, we're just about out of time, and Vox Pop comes from Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farms and forests in Washington and Rensselaer counties, agstewardship.org, and Feet Sports, Colony, New York, locally owned retail shop providing footwear and apparel for runners, walkers, and triathletes in and around the capital region, fleetfeetalbany.com. And New England Hydroponics on Route 10 in Southampton, Massachusetts, helping people bring plants to life since 2002, offering hydroponic supplies and indoor lighting for plants. NEHydro.com. Again, NEHydro.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Our engineer has been the incomparable and ubiquitous Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbeck, who really was working hard today. Our producer is Patrick Donges, himself an extraordinary man. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.